Student fees are set to rocket in Northern Ireland by up to 60%. That's if our politicians at Stormont decide they can't find any more money for higher education. Local students will pay just around £4,000 in tuition fees this year, but Queen's University has said it could rise to £6,300 per year. It's quite a hike. Young people in England have to fork out around £9,000 a year, but if you live in Scotland, you pay nothing. So are you a student, or perhaps you're sending your kids to university in the next few years? So how would a substantial hike in fees affect you? Businessman and local Tory Frank Shivers joins us. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, Vinny.
First of all, are you surprised to hear this? We've seen like a gradual increase over the past few years, from a few years ago when you would have got a grant to go to university to now possibly costing you over £6,000.
I'm certainly not surprised, Vinny, to hear this. I mean, I was actually talking, it was about 6 months, 8 months ago, with the then Secretary on Nolan about this problem, and it's continued to happen, and it's just inactivity from our executive. They identify the issues but don't want to tackle them with solutions.
What, is it fair? It seems like putting our, you know, the next generation of people that will be getting jobs in Northern Ireland or different parts of the UK at a bit of a disadvantage if we are putting this quite heavy fee on them.
Well, I don't think we are. I mean, when you look at the counterparts in England, it's £9,000. My concern would be that if we don't fund it, whether it comes from executive or it comes from the students itself, that Queen's, the education system that we have in Queen's, which is sort of world-renowned, slowly slips and is damaged because of it.
It needs
to be paid somehow.
One way to look at this is if it becomes even more expensive to go to university, it will mean that people on lower incomes, families with less money, will not be able to send their kids to university. So it'll become more and more a middle-class thing where people from certain areas can't afford to go and the rest are just left behind.
Well, actually, that's not true, Vinny. When you look at England and the loans, the student loans that were available and the maintenance loans, it actually showed that working-class students were more likely, that it's actually increased in England because of the loans available to them.
But that's going to leave them in a huge amount of debt when they finish university that they'll be paying off for years to come.
Well, it's very dependent. They only start paying that once they've started to work, and it's at a very, very low percentage rate. I mean, it's probably one of the best loans they'll ever get in their lives, and I would argue that it's probably one of the best value for money, in that they're using it for their education.
Do you think this will just discourage some people from going if we just boil it down to the fact it's going to cost a lot more money, or will people still go just for the sake of university?
No, I think people, it potentially could make people look a lot harder at whether they actually want to go to the university route. But generally, when people go through university and graduate, they do have an increased salary. So, I mean, you could argue as well, if somebody leaving who's maybe not academic or chooses to go into work at 16 or 18, why should they pay for these other people's education?
But if it's so easy, as you say, in terms of getting the loan, paying it off whenever you're on a good salary, then why would they not go to university? Why make that choice?
But they may find that they don't see a course that suits them, or they don't feel it's academic. I mean, we also see quite a few people. I mean, I see it. We have cafes and whatnot. I see it. We get graduates who want to come and work in a coffee shop because they can't get the job that they've trained for.
That's not necessarily their fault, though, is it? You know, we shouldn't discourage people from getting further education just because maybe we don't have the jobs at present for them to go into.
I'm not saying it's their fault, Vinny. What I'm saying is that, you know, potentially there's a lot of people going to university and we don't have jobs for them. And really, if we've trained people and we don't have employment for them, you know, what was the use of going to that university?
Scottish politicians, Frank, they took the decision to protect their students from huge debt. So why would we not follow their lead?
Well, I would argue that it is huge debt. I mean, currently,
oh, come on, thousands. So say £6,500 a year, if it does go to £6,300.
It does, yeah.
Let's multiply that. You know, that's a lot of money. That's what say around £20,000.
Yeah, £20,000 over 25 years.
But that is a lot of money. You can't deny that that's a lot to put on someone, especially if they leave university and they start off, as many will, on a lower salary. Then, granted, eventually they'll hopefully end up on a higher salary, given the fact they've got a degree behind them.
Look, that's the choice that people have to make. I mean, if the executive want to release the money and do like Scotland do, where it's free education, that's fine. But we need the money. We don't have an endless pot of money. There needs to be an accommodation. The executive have known about this issue. It's been in the tunnel for years, some would argue. And Stephen Farrell, the then minister, came up with three suggestions. And we're still talking about it. Nothing has been done. So, you know, the executive need to get off their backsides and start giving solutions to this. Now, whether it be they release the money and we have free tuition, but the money's going to have, somebody's going to have to suffer, another department, whether it be housing, you know, whether it be the health, the money has to come from somewhere.
But you can't deny, Frank, that
I would argue that it should be a joint venture in that the student should bear some of that cost because they are ultimately going to benefit from their education degree because they're going to earn more money.
But they already are bearing some of that cost in that they have the tuition fees to pay at the minute.
But I mean, even Queen's University have identified that the current costs aren't matching. You know, they have a deficit, showing a deficit of £55 million. That's unsustainable. So the money's got to come from somewhere, and I would argue it would be a joint venture. So if the taxpayer has to pay more money to sustain it, then surely the person who's going to benefit individually should increase as well.
Do you think it is fair, just going back to the Scotland model of things where there are free, if you're from Scotland and you're studying, there are free university places, you know, you're put at a disadvantage then by being from Northern Ireland, living in this country. Is that, it's not really fair if you look at it that way.
Well, it is. If you were going to study in England, you'd be paying 9,000.
Fair enough. John's on the line. Good morning, John.
Morning, honey.
John, what do you think?
Funny, I think Stormont yesterday missed the trick with Theresa May. This was the pipeline for a while now, and Stormont knew about it. Our ministers had a chance to put pressure on Theresa May yesterday and said here, we want 10% corporation tax cut paid by Treasury. And out of that cut, 5% per annum is ring-fenced out of the profits for education.
So what's your point?
The corporation tax is a devolved matter now. So, you know, the Northern Ireland Assembly could choose to make it 5%. The fact is it comes off the block grant, so they have to choose whether that will bring an influx of economy or a drive in the economy.
But following Brexit, our Stormont have a chance now to put pressure on the British government to pay for that cut in corporation tax.
So, but what's your point? Well, what does this have to do in terms of tuition fees, John? Where's the connection you're drawing there?
We have a low corporation tax system in Northern Ireland, which would bring in high-end jobs. And with the 5 or 10% levy on their profits put into education, what it would mean is we'd have graduates coming up the pipeline and straight into those high-end jobs in Northern Ireland. And it'd be a win-win-win for Northern Ireland.
Queens have also said that plans for corporation tax cuts to 12.5% won't in itself attract new investment to Northern Ireland. And that's the university themselves, John, that are saying that. Corporation tax has to be paid for from somewhere. So, you know, if the claims are there's not enough money for university fees, therefore they might have to be hiked up. The same issue applies for corporation tax. It has to be paid for from somewhere. So where do we take the money?
Well, down in Republic, their economy is doing better than our economy due to the influx of high-end jobs into the south. And it's about 10
It wasn't a number of years ago when we all had to bail the south out.
Okay, Fra's on the line as well. Good morning, Fra.
Morning, Vinny. How are you, mate?
I'm all right. Go ahead.
Yes, Vinny, I think the debate always comes down to whether or not the individual should be forced to pay for their education or whether or not the state, through taxation, should supplement the education. And I think it's very, very, very important that the state and ourselves as a society invest in our young people going forward. We're all going to need doctors. We're all going to need people who have been to university and have third level degrees in education going into the workplace. And from that, as we all know, graduates will earn more money in the short term and hopefully will earn like good money in the long term. And they're reinvesting through their taxation back into the state, which is going to reinvest in the next generation of people going to university. So I feel we should be agitating for free education at the point of delivery, just like the NHS paid for.
So you think
contributions by the state?
We need to invest in graduates so that in the future they can fulfil certain jobs that we need.
Absolutely.
So people that decide not to go to university for whatever reason, then they should have to pay for it through their taxes.
It's what we're talking about is a basic right to education. Education is free in primary school, and it's free in secondary school and grammar education. And that's there for a reason. It's there because every individual within the state has the right to be educated. They have the right to schooling and the right to be able to leave with a formal education and be able to read and write in order to perform whatever duties they're going to do in society. You could put a levy on people who earn over £50,000 a year, ring fence for education, but I don't really want to go down
that. So you're saying basically tax people, tax high earners, Fraz, what you're saying?
Well, tax the people who have benefited from going to university, and they are the high-end earners, I would...
But that's what they're doing by the grants, Fraz. But they are going, they're actively going to university to get a degree. When they qualify and come out, why should they not pay back? That's exactly the same thing as what you're talking. Tax the people who have gone through university education.
Yes, I understand that, but we did have universal free education, and I'm suggesting that we go back to that, because I feel very strongly, and you've already intimated at it, that there were people from deprived working class communities and families who find it very, very, very difficult. We're talking about the tuition fees, and we're talking about maybe top-up fees in the form of grants for people who can't necessarily afford to go through the university education system. But these people are going to make such a vibrant contribution afterwards. The last thing you want is, you know, a two-tiered system where you have the sons and daughters of doctors and lawyers and solicitors and judges and police officers, you know, being able to afford to supplement their children and their lifestyle going through university, and a second cadre of people who are totally left behind, totally disenfranchised by the education system. And, you know, people from those environments are actually going to think twice before going to university, because they're going to go, number one, can I afford it? Number two, how am I going to see it through? Number three, will I get a part-time job to supplement my income to pay my rent so I'm not living from pot noodles? You know, there is a balance to be struck here.
Yeah, I think there's certainly a balance. And, I do have certain personal sympathy to it in relation to, you know, we do need to look at the facts in England when the actual maintenance grants were offered and the fees, the tuition fees, were there was loans. The actual working class person had, it's statistically, I can't remember whether it's 12% or 20% off the top of my head, but it was something like that. There was an increase of working class people entering the education system, the further education system in England. So, I mean, you could argue that the stats there, by having that, you know, there's more people have gone through.
Okay. Finney, do you believe in free healthcare at the point of delivery? Or do you believe that people should start paying towards the maintenance of their own health?
It doesn't matter what I think. What do you think, Fra?
Well, I'm saying...
You want to tax people that earn a lot of money.
No, I'm saying exactly what I've just said there now. I believe that people deserve free healthcare at the point of delivery. I believe that that's a universal right for everyone who lives in society. So,
okay, we're going on in circles here. Fran, thank you. I want to move on to Alliance MLA, Stephen Farry. You're the former Minister for Employment and Learning. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Vinny.
Are you surprised at this? Is it something that you kind of foresaw this in the quite recent past?
Well, let's be clear that this is actually Queen's response to the Programme for Government and consultation. So they're setting out a range of options themselves, which echo the options that I put out at the beginning of March of this year. Any decision, of course, whether fees can rise in Northern Ireland is one for the Executive and also the Assembly to take in due course, and there would need to be a public consultation. So even if the government were minded to do this, the earliest that any increase in fees would come into effect could be September 2018. But of course, there are options here. Now, the starting point we have to recognise, Vinny, is that there's a structural funding gap in higher education in Northern Ireland, which amounts to about 55 million. That's the difference between what we're putting in Northern Ireland and what's put in Great Britain in terms of a like-for-like comparison. We also need to be growing the sector in Northern Ireland, and I reckon we need to spend about an additional £30 million per year to make sure we have more graduates coming through. And if we're serious about attracting more investment through a lower rate of corporation tax, and All of that's now changed, of course, with this Brexit situation. But if we're serious about that, we need to be investing another 30 million. So what we need for higher education is about £85 million per year. So there's two choices. Either the executive finds that money from existing funds.
Well, that's the question. Do you think, Stephen, that the executive can find that money?
Well, I have no doubt. I mean, there's areas where the executive are spending money inefficiently.
Like where?
Well, for example, if you think like the social investment fund, which I query the value of, we're spending money in terms of resourcing division. There was a report that was received by the Department of Finance in March this year, actually from Ulster University in this case, which actually showed that we're spending hundreds of millions of pounds every year in terms of financing division in our society. And if we move to a more integrated society, we could see if initially tens of thousands, then hundreds of thousands, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of pounds. So there's changes we can make in terms of our public spending profile that would allow us to invest in things that are important for the future, such as resourcing higher education. So there are choices that can be made, and I certainly believe that we should be looking to maintain what we term as the hybrid approach in Northern Ireland. If you look at fees in Great Britain, in England, at £9,000, they're actually the highest in Europe. They're actually indeed one of the highest in the world. So it's actually unusual in that regard that people are asked to pay that much. By contrast, Scotland have gone for zero, and that's very enticing and shows what can be done. But there's also a
site. Do you think we should follow suit? Should we have zero fees here?
Well, I don't think that's actually viable, Vinnie. It's on the surface, it's very enticing. What Scotland have done to fund their zero fees is they've removed the maintenance grant. So there's no maintenance support equivalent that we currently have in Northern Ireland. So what people gain in Scotland through free fees, they lose in terms of maintenance support. I think we can maintain the balanced approach in Northern Ireland with fees in the region of £4,000 plus a maintenance grant, but only if the executive is serious about putting in the region of £80 million per year to make sure that we're properly resourcing this.
So you've said, Stephen, just one second, that you believe that the executive can find the money, but will they actually do it? Do you believe they'll follow through?
Well, certainly I asked them to do it back in December of this year as we looked ahead to the forthcoming financial year, the year we're currently in. We managed to find an additional £20 million. I think that was an important start that was made in that regard. But I think, maybe turn the question on its head. If we are serious about growing the economy, we will need more and more people with high-level skills. So this isn't an optional extra. This is absolutely something that is an absolute inescapable requirement. If we're serious about corporation tax, companies will come in looking for highly skilled graduates. And if we can't provide that pipeline, the companies will just simply go away. They'll look elsewhere. Northern Ireland will lose its credibility as an investment location. So this isn't an optional extra. If they're serious about corporation tax and people are working through the final costs in that regard, they have to factor into that the costs of ensuring that we properly address the funding gap in higher education.
There have been calls, of course, for years, Stephen, in terms of lack of funding and money elsewhere. So you've got the likes of health as well. We hear about them struggling to fill potholes, clear the side of roads, etc. So really, should the money be put in, if there's any extra, towards further education for people that have already had their GCSEs, maybe their A-levels, and then they decide to go on for further education?
Well, it's important that we understand that higher education is a public good. Certainly the individual gains in terms of higher salaries down the line, but also our economy benefits from being able to attract more high-quality jobs here. That will have spin-off consequences elsewhere in the economy. There's a very clear multiplier effect from investment in higher education. That money filters down elsewhere in terms of other businesses. What we do in terms of university research, and indeed that's also now under considerable threat from the implications of Brexit, because collaboration across Europe and funding from Europe are very important in that regard. So there's a whole lot of things in the mix around the higher education sector at present. But higher education itself is a major boost to our economy. There's not a single modern economy anywhere in the world that doesn't have a very vibrant higher education sector.
Stephen, stay there for a second. Frankie, you wanted to come back in there.
I just wanted to ask Steve. Good morning, Steve. I just wanted to say.
Morning, Frank.
Good morning. We spoke. We need solutions, Stephen. And I thought your document in March was great. The only, and it gave three solutions to the problem. But what we want is people like yourself to stand up and say, this is the solution. This is the one solution. So I'm not sure whether you're advocating an increase in student fees, or you're advocating Stormont to pay for them?
Well, my personal view on the matter is, first of all, we have to address the funding gap by one means or another. But my preference in terms of how we do it is by the executive finding the additional resource. We have all sorts of spending commitments that are being made by the executive. There's issues around opportunities and revenue raising that have been foregone. There's inefficiencies in terms of spending, for example, the social investment funds
that
we don't need. There's things that we're doing around financing a divided society that we need to stop. So there's a whole host of areas where we can actually find the resource.
Okay. Stephen, I want you to stay there if you can. I want to bring in some more calls on this. 030 30 80 55 55. Kieran in Lurgan, good morning.
Good morning. I think there's been a lot of points made there that I would agree with, but I think if you boil it down, Dr. Farley said that basically it boils down to 85 million, and I would agree with the caller after that who said, well, you know, maybe it's time the executive got on with it and reached a conclusion about how they're going to get that money. The other point I would want to make, there was a caller previous to this who talked about basically a supply and, you know, supply chain for jobs, as if that's what education is solely about. And of course, I think I wouldn't be the only one who would say that that's not the case. It's also to provide a life experience. And we just can't think, I don't think, of education as being a vehicle to supply workers in Northern Ireland of whatever category.
So what else is it for?
People are it is to broaden their thinking. It's a lot of things. I mean, it's a lot of things.
But it's a lot of money, as Stephen Farry has said. And should we really be thinking of trying to fund that for people to have a life experience as opposed to gain education that would get them the jobs that we need, for example, doctors?
I'm not saying, well, for a start, not every doctor qualifies in Northern Ireland.
Of course.
Work in Northern Ireland. And not every course that's run in the universities will supply graduates who stay and reside in Northern Ireland. But don't forget one thing, Vincent. Every person, every parent, those that are able to do so, pay tax, and they want the best for their children. And if it was your son or your daughter, and they wanted to be, aspire to be an architect, let's say, and we were then saying, oh, we don't need an architect in Northern Ireland, so you can't do that. That would be a ridiculous scenario, I think. I mean, it used to be that parents would say the world is your oyster, and therefore you could go and do whatever you want in life, and life is short. So I think as a society, we've got to make up our minds about what value we place on education, whether it be primary, post-primary, higher or further or whatever. And there is a price to be paid for that.
Okay.
And I think, I personally would be prepared to pay some more tax in order to facilitate that for...
Okay, thank you, Kieran. Kieran calling me Vincent. I'm not sure who that man is. Annie Hoey is on the line as well. Annie, you are president of the Union of Students Ireland. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
No problem at all. What do you think of this? 85 million, our former education minister says. Sorry, Minister for Employment says.
Well, we're not in a just similar situation down here in the Republic either, where vast sums of money are being required to fund the higher education sector, and so we are not unfamiliar with this. And what's interesting is down the Republic, a report is released, and it listed out three options, one which was to drastically increase fees, but there was an option of free education or exchequer-funded education listed as a viable option, which to me says, first of all, it's obviously a viable option or it wouldn't have been listed, which I presume therefore is somewhat similar in Northern Ireland, that there is an option there. And I think it's very much something about a political will. To make a decision to make higher education open and accessible to all is not an easy decision, and no one for a second is saying that's an easy decision, but something that takes a huge amount of political will and political want. It's very easy, I think, sometimes to go after the higher education sector, but like, look, we can't afford to fund it, we can't afford to put anything into it, which is absolutely nonsense. You can't afford not to fund it. You cannot afford to play roulette with your economy just because there is a difficult decision to be made about where you can get the funding from. I'm not an economics expert in the Northern Ireland economy, but I can imagine in terms of funding, it's a little bit similar that there is a will to do it. There has to be a will to do it, but there is a way to do it.
There is a will and there is a way, but there is also, Annie, the issue of money. Do you think $6,300 per year in tuition fees, is that too much to ask students in Northern Ireland to pay?
I mean, I think that's an astonishing amount of money. The UK has the highest fees in all of Europe, followed closely by ourselves.
Well, England's 9. And how much does it cost in the south?
3. And they're looking at whether or not that's going to get bumped up in the next few years. £6,000 is not an easy amount of money to come from. And if you're from perhaps a lower socioeconomic background, that you felt the austerity over the last couple of years, you know, in real tough times, family have been moved from place to place, your family's riddled with debt. The idea of taking on more debt, adding that into your family situation, just so you can progress and maybe try and break out of that kind of culture that you're trapped in, can sometimes be very, very difficult for people to envision. And I think once you start going down the slippery road of increasing fees, and you know what, we need to get a little bit more money and we'll just bump up the fees again, you just start spiralling out of control. So where does the brakes come in? Where does the brakes come in? There was a promise of £1,000 of fees a number of years ago in the UK, and now they're hurtling towards £9,000, £6,000 here. I mean, it becomes the easy way out. So we'll just keep increasing fees. We've already started.
But surely, Annie, there has to be a certain amount of leeway in Northern Ireland and the rest of the UK. But let's talk about Northern Ireland. You know, there are issues in terms of funding for health. So when money has to come from one place to feed another, there has to be a happy medium. So we can't ignore other essential services just to facilitate, or maybe we can, further education for people.
Well, it's not... Well, the happy medium doesn't seem to be let's increase fees. That seems to be a happy one way. I would see it as that's going one direction as opposed to a happy medium. No, I don't think anyone believes that education can be exchequer funded tomorrow. That's not a real option right now. But there is certainly the ability to freeze the fees where they're at, or to move towards that model. I mean, when you have highly skilled graduates, they inevitably pay up to 70% more tax than someone who isn't a graduate over their lifetime. And I would have no problem with that tax being ploughed back into the education system. I think a lot of people would have no problem with that tax going back into that education system to fund people coming after us to also get an education.
Okay.
There is a way, but it's about the political will to do it. And I would certainly be very saddened to see Northern Ireland and our members in Northern Ireland being negatively affected by this fee increase.
Okay. Annie Hoey, thank you very much. Thanks as well to Stephen Farry.